You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China. I beat the people from China. What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
Today, Rachel was giving us an update on oil prices in the US.
This week, for the first time in history, the price of oil futures went into the negatives. Optimists hope this was a technical and isolated blip. Today, the prices are back up in the positives, and US President Donald Trump is acting as if the negative price was more of a fluke than something more profound.
Based on the record low price of oil that you've been seeing, it's at a level that's very interesting to a lot of people. We're filling up our national petroleum reserves, strategic reserves, and we're looking to put as much as 75 million barrels into the reserves themselves. That would top it out. That would be first time in a long time it's been topped out. We'd get it for the right price.
U.S. crude futures today went below zero, went into negative territory.
Went negative?
Yeah.
Like interest rates, they go negative.
Does that make you want to see Saudi Arabia and Russia and OPEC Plus do more
to
reduce
short
supply?
Term. Much of it has to do with short sellers. Much of it has to do, if you look a month into the future, I think it's at $25 or $28 a barrel. So a lot of people got caught. They got caught, and there are a lot of people that are not too happy because they got caught. So if you take a look at it, you'll see it's more of a financial thing than an oil situation.
So how can a price be in the negatives? The global economy has been under pressure for some time, but at this point, due to lockdowns and travel bans, we simply do not need the amount of oil we are producing. On Monday, the benchmark price for US oil, the West Texas Intermediate Contract, plunged to minus $40 a barrel. The way oil is traded is very precarious. Buyers and sellers are under a contract where they agree to trade at a predetermined price at a predetermined time in the future. This is known in the economics world as oil futures. Since traders were worried that they could not possibly store the crude oil they were obligated to take possession of, they began to frantically dump their contracts, sending prices off the charts. This means traders were willing to effectively pay buyers tens of thousands of dollars a contract to take oil off their hands. Experts have been warning for some time that we would soon run out of space to put all the oil. That time has come. The crashing oil markets has highlighted the powerlessness of Trump. His reaction to the crash was to pressure Saudi Arabia and Russia to stop the oil price war and strike a deal to produce less oil and stabilize oil markets. But even that historic curb is not enough to counter the blow that COVID-19 has caused. It is becoming clear that what we are dealing with is a precarious industry, neither economically nor environmentally sustainable. But at the end of the day, the continuing supply of oil is vital to American society. To explain this, here are two oil sector experts, Bob Kavner, former CEO of Malargo Exploration, and Cornelia Meyer, CEO of Meyer Resource.
So you're saying that in a lot of ways, the industry was already in trouble before something like this happened?
We tend to do this to ourselves. We over-lever, we drill a lot, we develop new technologies that allow us to drill wells at lower cost, which increases production. In fact, it increases production so much, we changed the laws in the states a few years ago to allow U.S. companies to export U.S.-produced crude, which was against the law up until about 2 or 3 years ago. And so now we've developed our own export market, producing more and more crude, importing less from the Middle East and Canada and other places. But we've continued to increase supply even as conservation and slowdowns in the economy in 2009 and 2015 have slowed the growth, the demand itself. And so we've created this problem over a period of time, and now we're to the point where we're over-levered, overproduced, and now with these low prices and serious crisis.
Cornelia, I saw you nodding. You have some thoughts on what Bob was saying about how, in some ways, the industry sometimes does it to itself.
Oh, yeah, we are classic boom to bust to boom industry. We do that all the time.
But what does this mean for people actually working in the oil industry? A bust in the industry doesn't just affect corporations and shareholders. As of March this year, 156,000 people are employed in the US oil and gas sector, all of whom could be unemployed if the sector goes under. If firms go bust, tax revenue that funds government programs will be lost as well. There are so many more jobs surrounding oil production and distribution that the damage will be incredibly widespread.
Excuse me, I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.